Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonsalves here with On The Money from the SBS Newsroom on this Friday, the 9th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Ahead in the program, Australia's share market rose for the fifth consecutive day today to have its best week since April. We'll tell you why in a moment. But first, I want to talk about the housing market because despite the pandemic, the housing sector is benefiting from temporary government assistance. The number of loans for the construction of new homes rose when Home Builder kicked in. And in August, the number of those loans surged nearly 23% to its highest in over a decade. That's according to the Bureau of Statistics. Now, if you remember, the scheme provides eligible owner-occupiers with a grant of $25,000 to build a new home or substantially renovate an existing one. So, what does it say about the sector? And what does it mean for house prices? Earlier, I spoke with Tim Reardon, the chief economist at the Housing Industry Association, and first asked him if he was surprised about today's official data.
So I think that there have been a number of surprises in it. The first is just how strong Western Australia has been. And we have seen a very significant pickup in terms of new home sales and starting to flow through now to housing finance. We were looking at around about 100% increase in work entering the pipeline in WA. That's partly home builder and also partly due to the state government scheme there as well. Victoria is certainly a surprise. We would have expected that in lockdown and in stage four restrictions, that new home sales and that housing finance would pull down, but we're not seeing that. In fact, it would appear that the more time people spend at home, the more time they spend renovating their house and buying new houses.
Tim, what does this all say about where we are in the economy?
So there's two different sides to this. From the detached home building market, we're looking at a reasonably solid performance for building on the ground over the course of the next 12 months. It will be slower than what we saw in 2019, but home builder is putting a floor under the market. The other side of the market is multi-unit and apartment construction, and demand there has certainly fallen away, and we're concerned about the outlook for the multi-unit market. It's difficult to see a pickup in that market until a decision is made by the government on when migration growth can return.
What kind of a role are first home buyers playing?
So we're looking at about a 24% increase in first home buyer activity in the market. So they're taking full advantage of lower interest rates, slowing in house prices. I can't say a fall in house prices because they've been incredibly stable, as well as access to home builder and the NPHIC first home buyer scheme. So all of those initiatives have offset the tighter credit arrangements that are in place for first home buyers. So structurally, we would have expected to see first home buyers sliding or falling away in this market as additional red tape and restrictions have been applied to lending for first home buyers. But instead, those other government programs and the lower interest rates have seen first home buyers at a very high level of activity in the market.
What about investors? How are they looking?
Yeah, so for the first time in a number of years, we're seeing first home buyers out-competing investors in the market. It's not that investors are incredibly weak. It is that strength of the first home builder, first home buyer participation in the market. Investors do remain active, and it would also appear that they're probably, like other consumers, shifting from the multi-unit market to the detached market. And that is quite an interesting phenomenon because we're not only observing that in Australia, it's been observed in the US, Canada, Norway, Japan, Israel, South Africa, that during this shock, consumer preferences appear to have changed. People spending a little bit more time at home has meant that they're undertaking more renovation work and choosing a slightly different or having different consumer preferences in terms of the nature of their home. So additional living spaces, additional studies, and even in the apartment market, looking at ensuring that study nooks and study spaces are not focused back on kitchen areas or work areas, but instead are suitable for Zoom and Skype calls.
And just finally, what's this all likely to mean for the sector, especially when it comes to house prices? And given that you did mention that there are some concerns about the apartment side of things.
So there's a couple of different phases to this. Certainly on the apartment side of things, we shouldn't expect to see a great deal of activity until population growth gets back to that 1.5% growth rate. For the detached market, there's a very different story, and there is a lag there for changes in population growth and the impact on the detached market, which is a 2 or 3 year lag. So Westpac have forecast a 20% increase in house prices in Brisbane over the course of the next 18 months to 2 years. And I would suggest that they look quite realistic and perhaps a little conservative, particularly when you look at Western Australia. And so that detached market, you keep in mind that we've seen house prices come off a little bit. So that's 20% off the bottom of the cycle, not 20% off where we're at, off record highs. And so I think that those house price growth scenarios and a return to growth are quite likely given consumer confidence at the moment.
Tim Reardon there, the Chief Executive of the Housing Industry Association. Let's go to the Australian share market now, which rose for a fifth straight day. For the week, the market is up 5.4%. It's the best weekly gain since April. Today, though, the gains were pretty marginal, only up by 0.01% on the S&P ASX 200 at 6,102 points. Earlier, I spoke with Tom Petrovsky from CommSec. Tom, the market's had one of its best weeks in months. Why?
Well, I think it's important to put it into context. Last week was a particularly grim week. We actually had the worst decline since April, and we've been able to back it up mercifully with a good rebound where we've actually had our best improvement since April. So the market up by just over 5%. And we've navigated a significant hurdle this week, it must be remembered, in the form of the federal budget. It's probably gone under the radar a little bit, given the fact that the nature of the conversation around the budget was all couched in terms of the extent of the deficit, how long it would take to repay it, which of course is significant and important to discuss. But in the eyes of the market, what you're seeing this issue framed up as is the historic level of stimulus and support that has been provided by the government over a whole range of time. And so this is going to be ultimately quite supportive for the market. It might not necessarily be apparent in the way that it has reacted in the immediate aftermath. When it will come into greatest use is when we run into headwinds, inevitably down the track, and it will be there to support the markets. So that's an important consideration. The other thing to consider, we've still got a big hurdle to navigate as far as the US election is concerned. It will bring volatility with it, there's no question about that. But there is a changing sentiment towards the US election, it seems like. There is a growing level of comfort, it must be said, in relation to a Biden victory. And there's increasingly more discussion about the fact that the Senate could be flipped and you might have a Democrat-controlled Congress, which in the past was a concern, but now that's being seen through another lens.
The RBA also released its financial stability review. What does it say about the health of the banking system?
Well, I suppose it was a pretty measured response, as it would have to be, about the conversation in relation to financial institutions. The important point that they have made is that banks are in a far better position to navigate this pandemic and financial crisis compared to what we have seen in previous crises in the early 90s and in the GFC. They've spoken about the health of the financial system, the health of the banks, that if we were to see a further deterioration in economic conditions, that the banks would be well placed to weather that. But they also at the same time highlighted that, you know, banks are going to be a very important part of this recovery, as they already have been. You know, they spoke about the fact that, you know, loans have been deferred. That was an important initiative, if you like, on the part of the financial community. And they are very mindful of the way that things are going to pan out when it comes time for those loan repayments to be resumed, and what that might mean in terms of knock-on effects, whether or not homes have to be liquidated to meet those financial obligations. They also spoke about the risks that face the commercial property picture as well. So they're by no means complacent, and they're by no means resting easy in terms of the progress that has been made so far in measuring the impact of the pandemic. They say that obviously, as every regulator around the world says, there's still more work to be done and vigilance is required.
Tom Petrovsky there from ComSec, and that is On The Money for this Friday and for the week. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at BusinessRicardo. Have a good weekend.
This On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice, and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.